Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
We don't need a lot of banter today because we have a very long gospel.
We do.
But we were talking before that you and I have different ideas of what a vacation is and what we should do on vacation. I get busier on vacation.
It's just the opposite for me. I'm very, very intentionally non-scheduled, and even one thing a day stresses me out. I'm very, very lazy on vacation. What do you mean by that?
Well, I like camping, for instance. Camping is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. That's why I don't like it.
And then I like cooking. Mm-hmm. So when I have time, I cook. You said the opposite. You prefer not to cook anything. And
no, I went a few weeks ago to a parishioner's place a little bit north of here, and it's just so wonderful. They're just wonderful friends of mine. But what's great is just to be able to show up, and it's there. And in fact, I don't cook. I'll go to the grocery store and just get kind of the basics for what I need. But just to be really lazy on vacation.
Interesting personalities there.
So fall, it's been a beautiful fall. Have you been camping at all this fall?
Yes. I have a tent and I have a box. I think you call it a tote.
A tote, yeah.
With everything I need. So if a Sunday afternoon I'm ready to go, I just need to put that tote in the car and I'm ready to go. I'm a little bit OCD and I need everything ready to go. And it used to take me a lot of time. And then if you take too long, then you decide not to go because you prefer to stay home.
Right.
So I have it ready, so I have no excuse. Anyway, here we are, episode 197, Two Guys and a Gospel. I'm Father Ricardo Martin, the one that likes camping and cooking. I'm pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the vice chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And I'm Father Philip Bulgacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. So I'm going to read the gospel. It's a longer one. There's a short and a long version, as we almost always do. I'll read the longer one. Where is this from?
You are reading chapter 25, verses 14 to 13, Matthew's gospel, another parable.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant, and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant, since you knew that I harvest where I did not plant, and gather where I did not scatter, should you not then have put my money in the bank, so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth."
It's a great parable. I love the parable, and I was seeing things, you know, when you read it again in an intense way, you see things you haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. But my first thought is, and I think you know what I'm going to say, this parable shows what we've said so many times, that everything we receive from God is like entrusted to us. Like that gospel we had at the beginning of October of the vineyard has been given to us on loan. It's a lease. Mm-hmm. It's entrusted to us, but we have to render accounts, exactly as this parable explains.
That's exactly what I see here as well. We have a life that's given to us, and then all of the ability to create things, the resources that we're given, but it's all on loan. And at the end of our life, we're going to be called to account for how good a steward we've been of that, but also that we've used it all, mm-hmm. you know, that we've used 100% of this life. And what I appreciate is there are, you know, 3 people here, or 3 examples, the person who receives 5 talents, 2 talents, and then 1 talent. And the master is ready to treat all of them equally with praise, the one with 5 and the one with 2. He said, you know, "I've entrusted you with these small matters, now receive great responsibilities." It's a reminder that each of us is blessed differently. It's not about a magic number, but, you know, with what we have, even if it's not 5, but it's 2, we're going to be blessed abundantly when we use that. We are a good stewardship is what this is all about in my mind.
It's interesting because that's the stewardship weekend at my parish this year. We plan in advance. We were able to identify this gospel in advance, and that's what we are doing. The one thing I agree with you 100%, the one thing I saw that I don't think I've seen before, but I'm sure, the person with 1 talent is out of fear, doesn't do anything with it. But when the master replies to him, calls him wicked and lazy, he doesn't call him the fearful or coward, you know? It says wicked and lazy. So it's very interesting that this fear for the master, and how insulting for the master, not to be told, "I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter." How insulting. The master is saying, "Oh, really?
Right.
So why did I give you the talent?" Which is an amazing amount of money, even if it's only 1. So we are thinking of 1 coin, 2 coins. The value that the master gives is super abundant, even for the one that only gives 1. But how insulting, no?
I think when people hear this for the first time, when talents, they think of that as a generic sort of thing. No, it is a lot of money. I think you just pointed something out that's pretty important, mm-hmm. that this is significant. Yeah, I think the whole maybe last third of the parable, there's a lot of dynamics there and almost, I don't say innuendo, but some kind of jabs going back and forth here between that last servant and the master. What I think about as well is a life of discipleship that's lived out in the details. So what God gives to us, and then he says, like to these 3 individuals here, go out and do something with it. I'm not going to tell you every little detail, but mm-hmm. go out and live this. And that's the life that we're given of discipleship, but it's lived out in every single little concrete decision we make, how we plan our day, how we treat our family and other people. It's all in the details. And it's my issue that you know that I mention often, which is we've always got to be careful not to let our love of God, our commitment to discipleship, become just something we talk about. You know, it's actually lived out in the regular concrete details of life. And here, I think this is a reminder that the Lord is going to ask us about that. I'm going to ask you, what did you do with that life?
Exactly. Two things I would say. One way I would put some of the things you've said is that God is not a micromanager.
Mm-hmm.
God is not a micromanager, and many people treat him as such.
Correct.
And second, the parable says that money is the least important thing. So for us, money is normally up in priorities. God has entrusted us with many things, money one of them, but relationships, wife, husband, children, family, faith, parish, all these things that have been entrusted to us. God is saying that money is probably the least important. It says a small responsibility.
Right.
So look at this. You mentioned stewardship before, and this time we plan in advance, and this will be, we only ask for money for our own, for our parish, once a year,
mm-hmm.
and it's this weekend. We produce a video, and this year we plan ahead so that this would be the gospel. We want to explain to people that the help, the stewardship they give to the parish, the money they give to the parish, because it's the financial part of stewardship, that it's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
That it's an investment in their own families and in their own faith with others that form a community. So that it's been interesting that you mentioned that.
Stewardship of resources, and I'm sure you mentioned this to some degree as well, it's an investment, but it's also a return to God. It's that reminder again that everything we have in the first place is from God, and one of the ways we show our love of God is to return that, you know, mm-hmm. to return it with increase in the end, at the end of our lives.
Every year we emphasize something different, and this year we are emphasizing, you are right, but we are emphasizing more that really you are investing in your own community, so...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting parable, one that we can easily apply to our lives. I'm telling you that already, that it will be stewardship weekend at my parish, so I will speak about this, that even money is a gift from God, and that helping your parish should be investment in your own family, in yourself, in your own community.
It's the only way that things happen. From the very first days of the church, you see it in the gospel in a couple of places, but especially in the life of St. Paul, the only way that ministry happened and the gospel was proclaimed and really the world was changed is because people invested.
Mm-hmm.
Their point, you know, it's clear that people gave of their resources financially to support what's going on. And so we didn't invent this for parishes or for the church today. It's been there since the very, very beginning. That's how things happen. Well, good. There's a lot here. I agree with you that this is, it's an exciting parable and an exciting gospel. So I'm eager to pray a little bit more about it and think about where I might go this weekend. And you'll be preaching about stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And I may in my own way as well.
And let's not forget how the incredible genius of this text that 2000 years later still applies directly to our modern situation. I will never stop praising the parables. They are fantastic stories.
So we think about the whole of our lives when we think about what's been given to us. There's another really important, I'd say, conclusion, a capstone. So we look at the end of our lives next week coming. So tune in next week. The gospel, I think, brings it all together. Really a conclusion to the liturgical year next week.
Now I can't wait.
Good. How about I see you next week and we'll talk about it.
See you there.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.